Good afternoon, everyone. It's not always smooth sailing on the high seas. And according to Lucy Southerton, who's worked on a cruise ship for nearly a decade, there are some annoying things that passengers do to irk the crew members. We'll explain all that. In the headlines on the update this Monday, law enforcement officials in the Bronx say they found nearly 30 pounds of cocaine and $3 million in cash stashed in secret compartments throughout an apartment that was used by a major cocaine distributor. We'll have the latest details. In many parts of the Northeast, it's winter still with a vengeance. The hardy souls across New England were spending their Sundays shoveling out from that major storm that dumped more than 2 feet of snow in some areas, causing multiple road accidents, downing power lines, and leaving hundreds of thousands waiting for their electricity to be restored. The plot seems to thicken in the Shohei Ohtani case. MLB has opened a formal investigation into the illegal gambling and theft allegations involving the interpreter Epe Mizuhara. Meanwhile, Shohei Ohtani himself is planning to speak to the media today for the first time since the allegations emerged during the Treams' trip to South Korea. And overseas in Russia, three of the four suspects that are charged with carrying out that concert hall attack in Moscow that killed more than 130 have admitted their guilt in court. Meanwhile, this attack has dealt a major blow to Russian President Putin's image as a tough guy who's able to defend Russia from all threats. This is the update. Monday, March the 25th, 2024. Every city has a story. And in New York City, there just happens to be a lot of them. From the Tommy Lynn stage, this is the update with Brandon Julian. A three-time winner of the Kingsborough Community College Gold Student Service Award. It's everything that you need to know, because anything can happen in New York. Greetings and salutations to you all, folks, every last one of you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the update on a Monday. Start of a brand new week for us together around here. I hope you did enjoy your weekend, despite what Mother Nature's been throwing at us. What Mother Nature's been throwing at us lately. This week, it feels a little bit like spring. We'll have temperatures in the 50s. More chances at rain Wednesday and Thursday, which is not looking good for the Mets' home opener on Thursday. And also, if you're one of those people that has the Easter weekend off, like I do, you're counting down the days to a four-day weekend starting on Thursday. That's going to be very fun. Be very fun. Isn't it? And, you know, there is lots to catch you up on as we're about to end March and go into April. A third of this year of 2024 is about to be done already. Where is the time going? I don't understand, but yes, in just 3 days from now, the Boys of Summer are going to be back in action, and I couldn't be more excited about it. I'm Brandon Julian, of course, folks. We appreciate you so much for being here, wherever you may be, and however, of course, personally, that you may be listening to us. Lots of news, of course, to catch you up on. We're going to begin this Monday's proceedings up north in the Bronx, where law enforcement officials, they say they found nearly 30 pounds of cocaine and about $3 million in cash stashed in secret compartments throughout an apartment that was used by a major cocaine distributor. The city office of the special narcotics prosecutor said on Friday that a 60-year-old man was arrested back on the 20th after investigators found cash, drugs, and luxury watches stuffed inside of furniture at that apartment. Investigators using police dogs found dressers, nightstands, and even a coffee table that had been retrofitted with large hidden compartments. The arrest followed a more than 2-month investigation. Now, on to some of the other news of this Monday. And the mayor of this town, Eric Adams, facing controversies, on multiple fronts, he's now nixed a planned trip to the U.S.-Mexico border over security concerns. The mayor was slated to depart on Saturday night to visit Brownsville and McAllen in Texas. The mayor was expected to meet with U.S. immigration leaders, as the city, of course, continues to struggle finding housing for new migrants seeking asylum. But Adams' office says that the State Department flagged safety concerns that prompted him to cancel the trip. Spokesperson Morris Cockfield says that federal officials raised concerns about a city in Mexico that Adams was planning to visit. We're going to talk about the weather now, which, if you're a longtime listener to this program, we only address on this show when the weather is bad. And of course, you know, on Saturday, it definitely was. In many places in the Northeast, winter, even though it's spring officially now, but winter was still kicking around these parts with a vengeance. And the hardy souls in this region were spending their Sunday shoveling out after that storm dumped more than 2 feet of snow in certain areas, causing multiple road accidents, downing power lines, and leaving hundreds of thousands across the Northeast waiting for their electricity to be restored. The largest utility in Maine, Central Maine Power, says that the crews were assessing and clearing the damage to begin widespread restoration efforts. Police across the region, they reported hundreds of traffic accidents as drivers grappled with the icy road conditions. And heavy rains, especially here in the city, produced local flooding. Here in Central Park, we got about 3.5 inches worth of rain. The National Weather Service says, though, that we're not just done with the rain just yet. Another storm is evolving and continuing through today across much of the Rockies, the Plains, and the upper Midwest, and soon, of course, it'll be heading our way. March Madness, it continues on. Many people have probably thrown out their brackets by now. I haven't completely checked myself. But over at UConn, Dan Hurley, he has the number one team in the entire country. But the superstitious coach is not taking any chances during this particular tournament this year. And that means wearing the same outfit every game, right down to the socks and underwear. The blue suit and dress shirt that Hurley wore through last year's run to the national title is back for another March Madness. Hurley also eats 8 plain M&M candies before every game, but not the colors of UConn's opponent. And he won't have to sort through them, or he didn't yesterday, when the Huskies played Northwestern, which wears purple. We learned over the weekend that the author Lorenz de Bruinhoff, who revived his father's popular picture book series about an elephant king. You might know it as Babar. He's died at the age of 98 after being in hospice care for 2 weeks. De Bruinhoff was a Paris native who moved to this country back in the 80s. He died at his home on Friday in Key West, Florida. He was just 12 years old when his father, Jean de Bruinhoff, died of tuberculosis, and Laurent drew upon his own gifts as a painter and storyteller as an adult, released dozens of books about the elephant who reigns over Celesteville, among them Babar at the Circus and Babar's Yoga for Elephants. as a person who grew up reading Babar books, he, of course, will be very deeply missed. Back here, in the city limits, the former president now says he has almost $500 million in cash, but he'd rather spend it on his presidential run than on the civil fraud judgment against him here in New York. The Republican ex-president hopes to have a court excuse him from a requirement that proves that he's good for the money while he's appealing this staggering verdict. A judge last month, of course, found Trump repeatedly lied about his wealth on financial statements given to banks and others to secure loans and make deals. Trump denies, of course, deceiving anyone. Trump's lawyers have struggled to obtain a bond covering the judgment because underwriters, they insisted on cash, stocks, or other liquid assets instead of real estate as collateral. We all remember the disgraced former Congressman George Santos. He was at the State of the Union in Washington in a surprising sight. And then, of course, we learned that he's planning to run for Congress again. Well, now he says that he's leaving the Republican Party and will run as an independent in his bid to return to Congress, after having been expelled, of course, while facing federal fraud charges. Santos made the announcement Friday in a social media posting that criticized the GOP-controlled House for approving that over $1 trillion spending package. Santos had been mounting a primary challenge to the Republican Representative Nick LaLota in the eastern part of Long Island. LaLota and other Republicans criticized Santos when he entered the race and again on Friday. Santos, of course, has pleaded not guilty to those charges, including using campaign contributions to pay for personal expenses. Out east, over the border in Waterbury in Connecticut, police there have identified a person who was fatally shot outside of a courthouse as a 26-year-old man who was facing gun and drug charges. His lawyer also was calling the killing, quote, a hit. Jaron Chapman's lawyer and the police say that he was leaving Waterbury Superior Court late on Thursday morning when he was shot in front of his family members by somebody who fled on a motorcycle. The Waterbury resident had just appeared in court. He had three pending cases there that included gun, drug, and assault charges. Police say that they are looking still for the shooter. Meanwhile, in Washington, to talk Decision 2024, the race to challenge Senator Bob Menendez's seat while he still faces those indictments, of course. Tammy Murphy, the first lady of Governor Phil Murphy in New Jersey, threw her hat in the ring not that long ago, but today, or over the weekend, I should say, we learned that Murphy suspended her Senate campaign to replace Menendez. Murphy announced her decision in a video that was posted to social media yesterday. Her decision to drop out likely clears the way for Andy Kim, the representative, in the Democratic primary on June 4th. Menendez announced that he wouldn't run in that primary, but he didn't rule out seeking re-election as an independent. Murphy, a first-time candidate, was running with the backing of influential Democratic figures. Kim, who was a three-term congressman, had entered his campaign in part upon upending the state's unique ballot design, which was widely viewed as favoring candidates that were preferred by county party insiders. In other news, the Supreme Court is going to take up a case tomorrow that could impact how women get access to mifepristone. It's one of the two pills that's used, in the most common type of abortion in this country. The case centers on whether the FDA overlooked serious safety problems when it made the drug easier to obtain, including through mail-order pharmacies. Legal briefs in this case vary widely when it comes to the descriptions of the pill's safety. Medical researchers and the FDA, they say the chance of severe problems from the pill is very small. And finally, yesterday on Meet the Press, the former moderator, Chuck Todd, says that some of the journalists at NBC News are uncomfortable that the network had hired the former Republican National Committee head, Ronna McDaniel, as a paid contributor. And like I just said, what was unusual was Todd's outlet for the criticism, the NBC show that he used to run, Meet the Press. Appearing yesterday as a panelist, Todd said that NBC bosses owed his successor, Kristen Welker, an apology for putting her in the uncomfortable position of interviewing McDaniel on the show. Of course, news outlets hiring politicians as analysts is hardly unusual. But the speed in which McDaniel made the switch and her role in supporting the false claims by the former president intensified the criticism of the hiring. Time for us to step aside momentarily. When we return on the update this Monday, we have a few important messages to tell you from the MTA. Gonna talk some sports and how the plot is thickening in this whole Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter mess. MLB, they've opened a formal investigation into the illegal gambling and theft allegations. And Ohtani himself is planning to speak to the media today for the first time since the allegations emerged during the team's trip to South Korea. We're going to talk together, of course, the latest national news, but we'll begin there overseas, where three of the four suspects charged with carrying out that concert hall attack in Moscow that killed more than 130 people, they admitted their guilt for the incident in court. And meanwhile, this attack has dealt a major blow to President Putin's image as a tough guy who's able to defend Russia from all threats. And at the end of the broadcast today, it's not always smooth sailing on the high seas. According to Lucy Southerton, who's worked on a cruise ship for nearly a decade, there are some annoying things that passengers do to irk the crew members. So on this Monday, where we have plenty of sunshine again and the winds have finally calmed down a bit, but don't get too comfortable with this, there is more rain on the way just in time for the Mets home opener. That's just great. So on this Monday, we're going to talk about all this and a lot more too, of course, folks, when the update of Brandon Julian returns in just a moment. Brandon Julian, you know, when my partner and I got together all those years ago, she told me that she was going to be the best girlfriend partner that I was ever going to have. Now, nearly 6 years later, I continue to remind myself every day that she was right. It really doesn't get any better than her. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you, and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. You know, folks, of all of the podcasters and the news anchors in the city of New York, I just so happen to be one of them. I just think I'm a little bit different than the rest. This is The Update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies. It's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
Through the first half of 2024, F trains will run on the E line at all times in both directions between Rockefeller Center and Jackson Heights Roosevelt Avenue because of track replacement along the 63rd Street line. On weekdays, M trains will not run between Rockefeller Center and Forest Hill 71st Avenue. Trains will run between 57th Street on the F line and Metropolitan Avenue. A special F shuttle train will run every 20 minutes between Lexington Avenue, 63rd Street, and 21st Street, Queensbridge, stopping at Roosevelt Island. The shuttle train will not run overnight. Free shuttle buses will run between 21st Street, Queensbridge, and Queens Plaza on days and evenings, and between Roosevelt Island, 21st Street, Queensbridge, and Queens Plaza overnight. Through early 2024, Manhattan-bound 7 trains are skipping 111th Street and 82nd Street, Jackson Heights, because of station improvements. For nearby service, use a Flushing-bound 7 train or use the Q32 or Q48 buses on days and evenings along Roosevelt Avenue. Through the summer of 2024, Manhattan-bound J and Z trains are skipping 75th Street, Eldridge Lane, and Woodhaven Boulevard because of station improvements. For nearby service, use the Q56 bus making stops along Jamaica Avenue. The New York City Police Department would like to remind you to keep your belongings in sight and to stay aware of your surroundings. If you see something suspicious in the station or on the train, tell a police officer or an MTA employee. MTA crews are here to help us get around. Let's treat them with respect. Assaulting a New York City Transit employee is a felony, punishable by up to 7 years in prison. The fare on local, limited, and select bus service is $2.90, with the exception of the BX18A, BX18B, B60, M116, Q4, Q4 Limited, S46, and S96 Limited until March 30th. Transfers on all other lines must be requested upon payment of the cash fare. For the S79 Select Bus Service, pay your fare on board the bus. For all other Select Bus Service routes, pay at the kiosk outside and hold your ticket for the duration of your trip. The fare on express buses is $7. Coins are not accepted as a payment on express buses.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the Sports Update
So spring training is wrapping up. It is now just 3 days away from opening day across this great land of America. Like I said before in previous episodes, I'm excited for the season to finally start. For all, you know, the home runs and everything about it, for the stats to become official, to see who is going to get to the playoffs and be the world champion this year. Of course, we mentioned last week that the Mets finally seem to have gotten their batted designated hitter, J.D. Martinez, and the Mets. They officially finalized that one-year, $12 million contract. The 36-year-old DH gets a $2.5 million signing bonus, $2 million this year, and $7.5 million in deferred money, plus a payable, I should say, in $1.5 million installments from each January 15th from 2034 to 2038, which almost reminds you a lot of that Bobby Bonilla contract. As a matter of fact, I want to see, because I'm literally sitting at my computer in front of me, contract in. So, Bobby Bonilla, of course, he'll get $1.5 million all the way until 2035. So, J.D. Martinez and Bobby Bonilla will each get paid at the same time for about 2 years. Isn't that just lovely? Now, Martinez, he hit .271 with 33 homers and 103 RBIs in just 113 games last year for the Dodgers, proving solid value on the one-year $10 million contract he signed before the season. Of course, back and groin problems limited his availability. So we'll just have to see how things turn out this year. In the Cactus League over in Mesa in Arizona, right-hander Austin Adams was acquired by the Athletics from the Mets for cash. The 32-year-old agreed in November to a one-year contract for $800,000 while in the major leagues and $180,000 while in the minors, and the chance to earn $500,000 more in performance bonuses for games pitched, $100,000 each for 15, 25, 35, 45, and 55. He was assigned outright to AAA Syracuse back on February 12th, and had a 6.75 ERA over 6 games and 5 1/3 innings with the Mets during spring training this year. Yankees were playing split squad games on Sunday. Yankees and one of the starters, Marcus Stroman, was taken on the Pirates, which they won 1-0. And the other half of the squad was down in Mexico City playing Diablos Rojos de México, where the first pitch was thrown out by Mariano Rivera to his old Yankee teammate Robinson Cano. Cano, he did hit a home run and had 2 RBIs to lead them to a 4-3 win over the Yanks in the first of 2 exhibition games in Mexico City. The 41-year-old, who's playing in Mexico for the first time in his career, went 3-for-4 with 2 runs scored. Cano hit a solo shot in the 4th and hit a line drive to center in the 7th for his 2nd RBI. Cano, of course, played 17 seasons in the majors, 9 of them with the Yanks, where he won the World Series, of course, back in 2009. And now we're going to go into the whole Shohei Ohtani interpreter mess, because that's nothing more than you can call it but a mess. The plot now is seeming to thicken, as MLB, they've opened a formal investigation into the illegal gambling and theft allegations. Epi Mizuhara was let go from the Dodgers, of course, last week, following reports from the LA Times and ESPN about his alleged ties to an illegal bookmaker and claims from Ohtani's attorneys that the two-way Japanese star had been the victim of a, quote, massive theft. Ohtani, of course, and the Dodgers were in Seoul in South Korea for their opening series against the Padres when the reports were published. And literally, speaking of, Ohtani is planning to speak to the media today for the first time since these allegations emerged. Manager Dave Roberts said that he's glad Ohtani, quote, will speak to what he knows and give his thoughts on the situation. Ohtani was set to bat second as the DH last night in the Dodgers' exhibition game against his former team, the Angels. And surprisingly, there is some non-baseball news as we'll go over to the ice. Islanders and the Devils are jockeying for playoff position as the season is coming to an end. They were going at it, actually, over at UBS Arena. Jack Hughes and Timo Meier each had a goal and an assist. Kaapo Kähkönen made 37 saves in his first shutout of the year, and the Devils beat the Islanders 4-0. Alexander Holtz and Chris Tierney also scored for Jersey. Kähkönen, who was acquired at the trade deadline, earned his first win as a member of the Devils. There was a little scary moment as Jersey captain Nico Hischier left the game late in the second after colliding with the Islanders' Anders Lee. Lee received a major penalty and a game misconduct. Hischier did return at the start of the third period. Ilya Sorokin finished with 26 saves for the Isles, but they lost for the seventh time in their last eight games. The eldest son of one of America's most infamous seditionists is now building a new life since breaking from his father's control. Chick-fil-A is backtracking from its decade-old no antibiotics ever pledge. And Kevin Hart, he rose from the open mics and comedy clubs of Philadelphia to become one of the country's most recognizable performers. He's being awarded with the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. Gonna talk about this and more, of course, because national news, it is next for us around here, of course, when the update Brandy Julian continues. But first, ladies and gentlemen, we do have to inform you about the following. Where has the time gone? I really hope that I didn't write that line. Did I write that line? Well, maybe I actually did. We're now celebrating 7 years of this program. 7 long news-filled years. My producers, who look for any excuse to hold a celebration, are having one every weekend as we go into the update archives to play you an episode from throughout the many years of this program. And then on the weekends, also once a month, we'll play an episode from my list of personal favorites throughout the many years of this program, as I explain to you why that particular episode is one of my favorites. So every weekend, dig into the update archives with us to remember where you were when this particular episode aired. And then once a month, the list of my favorite episodes as well. Keep listening on the weekends because it'll be a party that you will never forget. Unless, of course, you can't actually remember it from, well, you know, the night before. You know, as I was growing up, my mother told me to always wipe my feet on the mat before I go into the studio. Well, Mom, this one's for you. There's a lot more show to stick around and listen to as the update of Brandon Julian. We'll be right back after these messages. It's news for New Yorkers who never stop moving. This is the update with Brandon Julian.
available wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Tom and Levi.
Tom is the smartest man I know. He's been a professor at two major universities, been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, he told me that he was having problems in his classes. I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. And he was telling them that he was doing it as a favor to them, but I think in reality, he just wanted to get out of there. I was really starting to worry because I saw something was wrong.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me, and my love for him was just immense.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. Honestly, people, I would do anything for my wife, Tommy. But I know I'm not the best romantic person out there. There are more people that are more romantic than I am. Did you know, folks, that a long, long time ago, Prince Edward abdicated his right to the English throne to the woman he loved? Isn't that unbelievable? He had to choose between the woman he loved or being King of England. And that idiot chose the girl. Now, I'm sure, folks, that it was the right moment at that exact moment in time, and I'm happily in a relationship with my wife. But even in the best of moments, each person in a relationship has had a time where they thought, I've made an enormous mistake. But you know what, folks? I bet you never thought I could have been King of England. This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Monday, everyone. Start of a brand new week for us together around here. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. As you know, we prepare, some of us are preparing for a 4-day vacation for Easter weekend. I believe it's the first time we've ever actually had Easter weekend, the full of it off. Because I know we've had Good Friday off, but yes, 4-day weekend, I'm not complaining about it. It's like finding a lucky dollar or something on the sidewalk or something. You don't question why it's there. You just pick it up, you put it in your pocket, and you just keep moving forward. So I'm not going to complain about it. Many people like the 4-day break. They could actually use it. In any event, folks, thank you so much, of course, for still being here with us. You know, let us talk together right now, of course, the latest national news. But we're actually going to begin overseas in Moscow, where there's been another terror attack in this planet Earth. Three of the four suspects there charged with carrying out the concert hall attack that killed more than 130 people admitted guilt for the incident in a Russian court. The four were criminally charged yesterday in Moscow's Basmany District Court with committing a group terrorist attack resulting in deaths. The offense carries a maximum sentence of life in prison. The court ordered that all of the men, all of whom are citizens of Tajikistan, there we go. they be held in pretrial custody until May 22nd. The fourth suspect was brought to court from a hospital in a wheelchair and sat with his eyes closed throughout the proceedings. The three suspects who admitted guilty were heavily bruised with swollen faces amid reports in the Russian media that they were tortured during the interrogation by the security services. Of course, the attack there on that concert hall is really a major blow to President Putin's image that he's a tough guy who's able to defend Russia from all threats. And of course, it comes after a Kremlin-orchestrated election victory gave him 6 more years in power. Putin, I should say, quickly sought to use the attack to serve his political goals by alleging a link between the gunman and Ukraine, even though the Islamic State group claimed responsibility for the bloodshed and Kiev has denied any involvement. His statement signaled an apparent intention to escalate the war and tighten a political crackdown at home. Of course, we'll have the latest on this, of course, in the coming days and weeks. Back here, stateside, we're going to go to the heartland of America and go to Kalispell in Montana. The eldest son of one of his country's most infamous seditionists, is building a new life since breaking from his father's control. Dakota Adams is juggling work, college classes, volunteer firefighting, and now a campaign for Montana's legislature. Adams knows it won't be easy running as a Democrat in the deep red northwestern corner of Montana. But also the son of Stuart Rhodes, who founded the Oath Keepers, says he might be able to persuade people who are sympathetic to extremist groups to see things differently. Rhodes, of course, is serving an 18-year prison term for his involvement in the insurrection at the Capitol. Rhodes, through his lawyer, declined to comment about his son. Down south in Atlanta, Chick-fil-A, for years, they've had this pledge of no antibiotics ever. Well, now they're seeming to backtrack from that. The pledge, of course, intended to help prevent human antibiotic resistance, linked to the rampant use of the drugs in livestock production. Instead, the company says that they will embrace a standard known as, quote, no antibiotics important to human medicine, which entails avoidance of such medicines that are commonly used to treat people and limits the use of animal antibiotics to cases of animal illness. Livestock producers have long used antibiotics to boost rapid weight gain in animals such as chickens, pigs, cows, and sheep, although many nations, including the United States, have begun to restrict the practice. Out in the American West we go now to Georgetown in California, where authorities there say that an 18-year-old man who survived a mountain lion attack that killed his older brother is now expected to recover. The 21-year-old's death on Saturday in a remote area northeast of Sacramento was the first fatal encounter with a cougar in that state in more than 2 decades. The El Dorado County Sheriff's Office says the younger man called to say that he and his brother had been attacked near Georgetown. The older brother tragically died at the scene. Officials say the surviving brother underwent surgeries. California's Department of Fish and Wildlife said that its wardens found the cougar and euthanized it. And finally, we're going to go to Washington, where we all know the comedian Kevin Hart. He rose, of course, from the open mics and the comedy clubs of his native Philadelphia to become one of this country's most recognizable performers. And now he was awarded with the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor last night at the Kennedy Center for Performing Arts in Washington. Hart has honed a signature style that combines his diminutive height, expressive face, and motor mouth delivery into a successful stand-up act. And his films have grossed over $4.25 billion globally. The Mark Twain Prize, of course, annually honors performers who have made a lasting impact on humor and culture. let's face it, even when you're on a cruise ship, it's not always smooth sailing on the high seas. According to Lucy Southerton, who's worked on a cruise ship for nearly a decade, there are some annoying things that passengers do to actually irk the crew members. Gonna talk about this because your honorable mention is next when the update with Brain and Julian continues.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. Your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. If there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops. My dad wasn't around, and I remember riding a bike and falling off and cutting myself, and me never would just want to get back on it. People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike, and you didn't. I didn't teach them. I just created an environment where they taught themselves, and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. You know, it's a big holiday tradition, you know, it's fruitcake. I love all the holiday traditions, as Jim Gaffigan once said. You know, like the Christmas tree. My birthday is right next to Christmas. Christmas tree, you know, we go chop a tree, we go put it in our living room. Sometimes I think that's the creation of a drunk man, really. Some woman wakes up, honey, why is there a pine tree in our living room? I like it. We're gonna decorate it for Jesus. And then I'm gonna hang my socks over the fireplace. Fill them with candy. Maybe I can tie some leaves to a ceiling, see if I can get some action. And now I'm gonna puke on this couch. Merry Christmas. This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Monday, everyone. Start of a brand new week for us together around here. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us as we are marching toward the Easter weekend. Hopefully you get to have that precious time off. You know, folks, there is just enough time left today, of course, for your honorable mention. And you know, as the weather progressively gets warmer, it'll be cruise ship season. I've never been on a cruise ship before, but I know that's one of my bucket list things to do, is to go on a cruise ship at least once. Maybe, I don't know, maybe up to Canada or to the Caribbean. But just to say I've gotten it off of my, my list. I'm sure it comes as no secret that it's not always smooth sailing on the high seas. I mean, you remember at the height of COVID when people were stuck on those cruise ships that were just ravaged with COVID. And Donald Trump saying, when he was the president at the time, that he didn't want to let those people into the country because he liked the COVID numbers being as they were. Or another story we did recently about why cruise ships give out free ice cream, because they need to make room in the freezer when there's not enough space in the ship morgue. So yes, it's not always smooth sailing on the high seas. And according to Lucy Southerton, who's worked on a cruise ship for nearly a decade, there are some annoying things that passengers do to irk crew members. In a resurfaced video that was posted to YouTube, the 28-year-old from Birmingham, England, revealed a list of things that irritate employees on the ship. The most popular complaint that she informed her more than 65,000 subscribers was when people comment on workers' English. There's often a melting pot of people aboard cruise ships who come from around the globe, meaning those workers often speak another language in addition to English. She said in the clip, quote, "It is scary going to work on a cruise ship where you have to speak English, which isn't your first language." So it's really, really crap when you have a passenger say something bad about you. In that same vein, Southerton said that the crew actually hates being culturally stereotyped. Recalling an incident where a sailor asked her Colombian friend, who was, quote, "never, ever, ever, ever touch drugs," if she had, quote, "ever done cocaine just because of where she was from." She said, quote, "It's just a bit insensitive," adding that it goes both ways, since Americans apparently get really upset when they're stereotyped as dumb. Southerton also revealed that the crew also hates when travelers leave their cabins or ship in a mess, try to go into the restaurants, bars, or shops just before closing, and ignore the cruise's greetings, which she called, quote, "a little bit disrespectful." Which, I get that. But also, apparently, bragging about wealth is also a big no-no. Next, she said that it's irritating when, quote, "passengers flirt with you and they think you have they have a chance with you just because you're a crew member." She explained that while it's part of the cruise's job to be friendly, it often gets misconstrued by travelers because, quote, "you're a sexy crew member," urging future passengers to consider that the crew might not want the attention. And also, being treated like they are not people is another pet peeve of hers. She said, quote, "I think with manners, the reason it annoys me so much and annoys crew members so much is because it doesn't take anything just to say please or thank you or, you know, hey, how are you doing?" In general, she tells the Daily Star, quote, "good manners go a long way. And not being polite to the crew is, quote, the biggest mistake that people can make." She goes on to say, quote, "you don't know what you're going to need and which crew member is going to be able to solve your issues. And it's happened before where a passenger has been incredibly rude to a crew member that they have later needed during their cruise." Which almost goes in the same vein of, like, if you're rude to a bus driver or a conductor, like, the next time that they see you, they will just drive on without you or just pull out of a station. Or just, like, make eye contact with you and still pull off into the sunset. It's the craziest thing out there. I'm going to let you guys ponder on this, as we say in the words of Walter Cronkite, "that's the way it is." Monday, March the 25th, 2024. That is the update on this Monday. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you being here with us. You know, folks, in the next episode of my favorite episode series, which is going to be in April, we're going to revisit, go to year number two of this show, and revisit a pivotal moment from the presidency of Donald Trump when he pulls us out, of course, of the Iran nuclear deal. So, you know, we're going to hear about that in April when we cross over to April. So, folks, you know, so until the clouds cloud back up and we get ready for more rain around here, in the words, of course, of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hopefully that your news, folks, it will be good news. I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck. Be safe. And, you know, folks, most importantly, please be well. And, honey, like, honey, I can't decide between burgers or hot dogs, because, you know, you're good at cooking both. You're a better person at cooking meat than I am. It's just the truth. So the clouds will come back in, and we're going to get ready for more rain. Fingers crossed that they don't ruin the Mets home opener on Thursday. Let's talk about this and a lot more too, of course, folks, when I see all of you right back here tomorrow. See you then.